The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. I think it's Tuesday, February 1st, but maybe it's Wednesday, February 2nd, depending on when you're listening. It is, of course, the Super Bowl matchups have been set. The odds are out, and they are on the move. And who better to talk about them with than the Wizard of Odds himself, Kenny White. Kenny, what's up, man? How are we doing?
Hey, Will, doing great. Looking forward to the Super Bowl. Looking forward to seeing you next week in LA.
I know. Wait. We probably haven't seen each other since Miami.
2 years. Yeah, two years. So we got to get on a heater, get a college basketball heater that week.
Yeah, that's right. The Atlanta Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Rams was the true, just unbelievable run of heaters. But
we had fun. We had a lot of fun. We're going to have fun next week too.
Yes, we are. All right. The game here is, I mean, look, it's, I don't want to say it's pretty simple because I actually think, and if you're watching on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6, hit the subscribe button, turn on your alerts, give us a like, and tell us your favorite Super Bowl bet. If you are listening on Spotify, give us a 5-star rating. The line here, Rams minus 4.5 and the total of 48.5. Both these lines have moved. We saw some 3.5s for the Rams, got bet up to 4 quickly, now 4.5, and the total opened at 50 and has dropped down a full 1.5. Before we sort of dive into those numbers, Kenny, I'm curious, like what goes into setting, the Super Bowl odds for odds makers? Because it's different than just your normal regular season game or even a playoff game, because there's so much more action on it.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And, the Super Bowl is based more towards the public than it is the professionals, because the general public's going to outweigh the professional money in this game. But, and power ratings go through this. Everybody's using power ratings. They're also just, some people in the NFL are a feel eye test and they can make adjustments on the fly. This game's one of the easier games to make because we've already watched these teams play in the conference finals, and we knew the Rams were, a slightly better football team than the Cincinnati Bengals. But I think they opened low on the side at 3.5 because the Rams are playing at home. And that's the one big thing we really don't know about is how many Ram fans will be in the stands. Is it going to be loud? Are they going to be loud? They're never loud. They usually sit on their hands. They show up late. They leave early. And they're not a great home advantage. But when they are a good home advantage, they are good. The LA Kings had great home crowds. The Rams had to battle the 49ers, who had as many fans in the stands as they did in SoFi last week. The crowd had to get loud. They wanted to match the noise of the 49er fans. And if the crowd can get that loud, it may be worth a couple points. This line could go up higher. I think the Rams are 4.5 points better on power rating wise. And I've seen a couple others that even are higher than what I have, which I think that's a little too high. But so if I'm at -4.5, the Rams power rating, home field's got to be worth at least 1 or 2 in this spot.
Yeah, I would point out too that, I think that this maybe applies, and I didn't think about it until you just said something, but usually at the Super Bowl, you have a lot of tickets that go to NFL players, various NFL teams. Each NFL team gets them. Players get opportunities to buy them. And then you have a bunch of rich celebrities who go to the Super Bowl. Do you know where most rich celebrities live? They live in Los Angeles. So presumably, we saw like Leonardo at the NFC Championship game, there were a ton of celebrities there. And I'm not saying they're going to be really loud in the stands, but I would guess that they're cheering for probably the Rams instead of the Bengals, if that's the team that's in town and they don't have a diehard team and you want to sort of support the local NFL team. So maybe that's a slight tilt too in the favor of Rams fans getting loud. Certainly they were, I mean, the Niners fans were really loud, but so were the Rams fans. I do think there's a chance that, you know, we see a bunch of Bengals fans flock to Los Angeles, but you know, this isn't like the, you know, this isn't really even like the Seahawks in New York where anybody can get to New York and stay wherever, you know, you can easily stay in New York City. You can easily find a hotel even on Super Bowl weekend. Like it wasn't even a blip on the radar really. In terms of what was going on in that city, I think it's gonna be tougher. And it sounds like the tickets are $5,700 a pop. You know, there'll be plenty of Bengals fans who want to go, but that is not, you know, that's not cheap. You're talking about,
I don't think you're going to get 30% Bengal fans. And that's what it would take to kind of make any type of difference in the crowd noise. Right. And that's all home field is crowd noise. So again, the LA fans got to get loud. And if they are, it'll be worth a point and a half to the betting line. So, you know, I could see this line going up to even maybe even five and a half. Five and a half is a dead number. Five's a dead number. So,
right.
But I think it's going to bounce back and forth anywhere between 4.5 and 5.5.
What did you bet anything out of the gate? And I'm curious, you obviously think that the Rams are good value, even at 4, maybe not 4.5.
I did not bet the Rams. I didn't want to lay a price. The NFL is tough to lay numbers in. They just want to win the football game. So
right.
I did not. What I was going to wait for was that we normally get a lot of underdog money on the money line because they're taking the plus price. And then you get a cheap money line price on the favorite, usually the day of the game. Right. So I was hoping to lay it maybe $1.70 if it went that low. But I did bet under. I went under 49.5 was the best number I could get. So I'm under right now with the game.
Okay. What do you think in terms of I love the under. And I thought we talked about the line on our championship recap Sunday podcast. I was like, 50 is not going to stick around. Like if you see a 50 and you like the under at all, hammer it because it's going to keep ticking down. These teams are both pretty conservative in terms of their approaches with the running the football. You know, Sean McVay and Zach Taylor, you know, young offensive minds, but they're really conservative on fourth downs. They both have good, they have pretty good kickers. Although Matt Gay's floundered a little bit. I would expect that they'll punt if they get a fourth and two or three at midfield. And that they'll kick if they get a fourth and two inside the red zone or something like that, or even a fourth and one. Additionally, Sean McVay, second half, runs the crap out of the ball, especially as a lead. And we've seen with Zach Taylor, particularly against the Chiefs last week, more than happy to run on every single first down. How low would you be willing to take this under?
Well, my number on this game, I made it 44. So a little bit of leeway still for people who haven't bet it yet. I still think under 46.5 would be the lowest I would go to tell anybody. I don't think it'll go that low though, Will. I think you're going to get some over money from the general public. But you know, to your point, you're right. Both these coaches are really good coaches, but they are they do get conservative. And we saw the pressure and how it mounted against Mahomes even in that championship game. The pressure was on his shoulders and Burrow, and they nobody could get a first down. And then you know, the Rams 49ers, same way. Matthew Stafford's never been there before. Cincinnati's never been there. This is a very inexperienced teams, I think, in this spot. So, and look at what the Rams have done. They've gone under 7 straight first halves. And on the year, they're 13-6-1 under in the first half as well. And you just said McVay loves to run the ball in the second half, a la Bill Belichick. Get the lead, run the clock out, win the game. And you're right. So if it's going to be low scoring first half, and then you're going to get him to run the clock out. This total is, I don't know if it comes down much more than this. So I think there's, you know, value in going under 48.5, obviously. But I think there's value all the way down to 46.5 because 46 is a key number.
All right. So, like, I've got a Super Bowl pool that I'm in, right? It's a gambling pool. So, like, it's winner take all, whoever's the most shares at the end of the it's playoffs only. I'm in first place. There's really only two teams that are kind of in it. I've just gotten lucky, but I've got a 48.5 out there. I think I go ahead and take that, right? And just in case it keeps trickling down.
Yeah, I think it could go to 48. I don't know if it'll go any lower than that though. I really don't. This game, there's, you know, the under money's come in and most people hate to bet under. Sure. You know, the general public's going to bet over. They're thinking Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford. They're thinking throw the football all over the place.
And look, it's entirely possible that we see the Rams come out with a great scripted drive. They take a shot down the field, they score, and then the Bengals do the same sort of thing where they get play action loose with T. Higgins against a non-Jalen Ramsey corner, and all of a sudden it's 7-7, 5 minutes in. That would be really rare for a Super Bowl in general, but it is possible. And if that happens, maybe think about smashing that live under. We sort of talked about you think in terms of movement, we could see maybe down to 48, but probably back up to 49 on the total, and then as much as Rams -6, which I think would scare a bunch of people, but also entice a bunch of people into taking the Bengals.
Yeah, the books will go to 5.5. They'll go to 5 first, but right. Then no nibbles at 5. They'll go to 5.5. If they don't get enough money back to balance the books, they'll have to go to 6, and that would be the high mark. And the game will close between 5.5 and 6. The total will be, I think the total, I don't know if we'll see 49 again. I think it'll be 48 or 48.5 is the closer on the total.
Okay. That makes sense. So with the Bengals and the Rams stuff, actually, I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll analyze these two teams.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So I tweeted this out, and it got a bunch of retweets because I think the general people agree with it. It was like, point, Rams have better matchups in the trenches, schematic advantage, more superstars, certainly better balance on both sides of the ball. Counterpoint, and a picture of Joe Burrow in his sunglasses. It's like, I feel like there are going to be a lot of people, Kenny, who do not want to bet against Joe Burrow in this
spot. Right. Yeah, I do too.
How do you look at it from your power rankings perspective? Because DVOA has the Bengals at around 15. They've sort of been luck boxed to get here. The Rams, you got to get lucky to get to the Super Bowl, but
yeah,
Rams are profile as a top 5 team.
Yeah, the Rams profile, they are a top 5 team. I think I have them. I'm number 2 now. In the NFL for them. But, Cincinnati just beat my best team. The Chiefs were the best team in the NFL for me. They're my highest rated power rated team. And Cincinnati, you're right. I've followed those DVOA ratings all year, and Cincinnati has not come up. It's because they played in a weak division. They did lose 7 games. They played the Raiders, who are below average. And then they played Tennessee, and they got fortunate. They brought back Derrick Henry, who was a step slow, and Tannehill threw those 3 interceptions. Well, otherwise they wouldn't have been in the game against Kansas City. And then that game, I can't figure that out. Kansas City goes right down the field 3 straight times, touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. And then all of a sudden they can't even get a first down.
Ted Wynn of The Athletic actually did a good breakdown on it. Apparently, and I don't know if you know this, somebody else is telling me this, that does a, sort of similar, does modeling and everything. The Bengals are actually one of the best halftime adjustment teams in the NFL. Which kind of shocked me, but Lou Anarumo, their defensive coordinator, what he did was he started dropping in the second half, basically the whole time he was dropping 8 and having, they were double teaming Kelsey coming off the line and having a safety drop down in a robber position and doubling Tyreek Hill. And so there's a 3-man rush. And then guys would sort of like, it was almost like court. And I point this out because I don't know. I don't know if they made that, if they planned on making that change at halftime all along, or if it was a holy crap, we're in trouble. We need to rip the Band-Aid. But there's a coordinated, these guys understood what their roles were. If Mahomes got free and to break in on contain and force him to hold the ball. And he couldn't get a first down.
No,
didn't get any points.
Nope, couldn't get a first down. You know, I think it was kind of a similar strategy that teams used like at week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 when the Chiefs were struggling to score offensively. And then all of a sudden
what the Bengals did in the first half was what the teams were doing with that 2-cover shell.
Yeah.
And then they switched to what the Raiders used in 2020 or 2019 when they beat him in Arrowhead. And they had this just like game plan that just flummoxed Mahomes for some reason. I don't know if that's as easy. I mean, I guess it's as easy to do against the Rams. I mean, certainly the Chiefs offense is better, but I think Matthew Stafford may be more of a veteran and has, you know, the guys in Kupp and Odell Beckham. I'm not taking away from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, just guys that can sort of get open and sit in these zone spots.
I wonder how much it weighed on Mahomes' mind with that he blew that, you know, second and goal and knew that he had to throw it in. It had to be a touchdown or incomplete because you had to take the 3 points and they get nothing out of that drive. That was a killer. I mean, you're up 14 now. Takes the 2-point conversion away from the Bengals at that point. And
I would guess that they probably spent 5 of their 20 plus minutes at halftime of that game talking about that. You know, like, and all of a sudden you're disheveled. You're not thinking about adjustments. You're not thinking about what the Bengals might do and how you adjust to them. And they never caught up to it in the second half.
Yeah, well, that would be a shame if they spent 5 minutes on that. That would have been a lot of wasted time because nothing you could do about that at that point. But
sure,
that you know, weighed a question mark on my mind when they went into the half thinking, man, the Bengals got to be fired up. That's a touchdown. I mean, they're thinking they're down 28-10,
and then maybe 35-10 by the time you get the ball back.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So
yeah. All right. So looking at the MVP odds. So I think we've covered the spread pretty well. If you like the under or you like the Rams, you should probably go ahead and get your bet in now. I know people aren't going to want to bet 2 weeks ahead of the Super Bowl, and you do have COVID concerns, so always be a little cautious on that. But, you know, that appears to be sort of the way, obviously, the way that the lines are moving.
I would say, you know, I don't know if you have to make a bet on the side yet because now we're in that dead zone, you know, at 4.5.
Yeah.
So if you had to lay 5.5, it's not much of a difference from laying 4.5. So you're okay to wait. Maybe if you like the Rams and you can find 4, there are a couple 4s out. I think you got value. And the other thing is, like I said, on game day, I think there'll be a lot of money on the money line for the Bengals.
Yeah.
And that price could come down. You could find a cheap money line on the Rams if you like the Rams.
Yeah. And you could also, you know, if you were so inclined, a Rams money line under 48.5 money line parlay pays plus 186, which is,
I like that too.
Yeah. I like that a lot. I think I'm probably going to on my pool thing. If I got 6,700 shares to work with, I think I'm going to do 2,500 on the under. I got a 4 on there for the Rams, 2,000 on the Rams, and then do like the rest on the money line parlay or the Rams money line under parlay.
You know what everybody else has, right?
Yeah. Well, no. I don't know what everybody else has.
Oh, you don't know what they're going to bet, but you know how many shares they have left.
Yeah. There's only one guy.
You know, somebody's going to make a big parlay to try to catch you.
Somebody's going to go Bengals and over or Bengals and under. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if I get Rams and under, then it's probably over. But we'll have to see. I'm just kind of steadfast, Kenny. Like I picked the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl before the playoffs started, and not the season, the playoffs. And so, like, I'm on the Burrow bandwagon, but I think that the Rams are just a horrific matchup for the Bengals. Like, they can get so much pressure on Joe Burrow on the interior. Aaron Donald is going to come strong. Von Miller has a Super Bowl MVP on his resume. Jalen Ramsey can lock down one of the receivers or, you know, just let them set up however they want. Zach Taylor is, you know, I think it's a coaching mismatch with his former boss. And then I know the Bengals will be able to get some pressure on Stafford, but I'm not sure that secondary can hold up against all those different weapons.
Yeah. You know, you bring up great points. That's where the Rams are a better team. They do have all those all pro players on defense and they have an outstanding offensive line. They got a great running game. They got the passing game. The Rams have everything it takes to be a Super Bowl champion. And remember when we were in Miami for that Super Bowl against, Atlanta. We were in Atlanta for that first Super Bowl. And I love the Rams because I thought they were the better team than the Patriots. But the inexperience for Sean McVay in that Super Bowl. He got completely outcoached in that game.
Yep.
And that, but that was a Bill Belichick who'd been there many, many times. I don't know if one trip to the Super Bowl gives McVay that much more experience over Zach Taylor, you know, because I was really unimpressed with McVay in the second half of that game against the 49ers. He's very fortunate to be where he's at. There was
How about the second half of the game against the Buccaneers?
He mismanaged that game as well. So back to back games. I mean, his timeouts, calling the challenges. You know, he's not done well with challenges of late. And I disagree with the challenges.
Two challenges in the 49 in the NFC Championship game were two of the worst challenges you ever seen.
Terrible, terrible. Oh. So you know he's feeling the pressure too.
Yeah,
he's got pressure on him. That's why I kind of like the game under. Just, you know, a lot of pressure on both coaches. They close play it close to the vest. But again, you get worried. Like you said, they do have some big time playmakers on both these teams. And yeah, would it shock me if it was 7-7, 10 minutes in or 5 minutes in? No. But you know what? Looking back at last 15 Super Bowls, Will, 10 of the last 15, there was no score in the first 6 minutes of the game.
And most of them were Tom Brady, which is like super weird.
Right.
Yeah.
He got off to a slow start in a lot of games, Brady did.
I just can't imagine, even if they're scripted, I think that both of these teams will be interested in having a longer scripted drive that works down the field and tries to eat up some play clock. Like we saw it in both the championship games. You know, the Bengals weren't really able to do it, but I think it was 7-3 closing down, or maybe it was 14-3 closing the end of the first quarter in the AFC, and then NFC, there was just no scoring, just sort of a back and forth. And we saw the Bengals early on in that game against the Chiefs were basically going run. Okay, Joe, bail us out on third down and medium. And you know, if you're not able to get those, it's going to, you know, keep damping down the scoring significantly.
Yeah, but the Bengals are here because the Chiefs could not sack Joe Burrow. They got to him. They couldn't bring him down. Now, there was three opportunities in the second half.
Yep.
If they would have sacked him one time, they may have won that game, but they couldn't bring him to the ground.
Yeah, and I do think that as good as the Chiefs, you know, defensive line can be at times, and they have talent on there, like Melvin Ingram and Chris Jones play great. I'm taking Aaron Donald and Von Miller all day long. Yeah. I mean, Von Miller against these Bengals tackles is a potential massive mismatch. I saw somebody point out that, and this is I think it was somebody at Pro Football Focus, PFF, but he's like, here's my galaxy brain take. Rams defensive line is actually good for the Bengals offense because it'll force them to get the ball out quicker. It's like, well, okay. I mean, that's one way to look at it. But if Joe Burrow's under that much pressure, I think he's going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know, they made a good adjustment. So from going from 9 sacks against Tennessee to 1. And I knew that would happen. I knew it. It happens all the time when you're embarrassed. And then you have to make adjustments. You're gonna play better. You're gonna make the adjustments. And you're right. Burrow's got to get the ball out quick against the Rams.
Right. I'm trying to find the Super Bowl MVP odds, which I somehow don't have in front of me. I do know that the favorite, of course, is Matthew Stafford at +120. We have Joe Burrow at +220. I saw when Debo had him up earlier on the day. I'm gonna see if I can find him. Let's see, Super Bowl MVP. Here we go. So Stafford is like basically close to even money. Cooper Kupp, I saw it 7-1 on Caesars. Jamar Chase, somewhere in the 12-ish range. Aaron Donald, 25-1. Odell Beckham was like 40-1. Cam Akers, 40-1. Joe Mixon in that same range. Do you think it is worth trying to chase any skill position guys or defensive guys in this matchup? Or is it just going to simply be a bet on the quarterback situation?
Now, obviously, yeah, we always get the bet on the quarterback situation in these games because if they win, it's the quarterback. But boy, Cooper Kupp and Jamar Chase, two of the best in the business. Those guys just could have that type of game that could propel them to the MVP. I think those are the only two. I mean, I think about Aaron Donald. I just don't think that he has enough. He'll be able to do enough to beat out Matthew Stafford in this game.
I think my thing on it is, and we talked about this a little bit with, I guess at some point during these 75 podcasts that we've done, maybe it's during the mailbag, but like, so we only have an example of, 4 wide receivers since 99, I think it is, or 1990, actually, who have won the Super Bowl MVP. All four guys had 100 plus yards. Edelman did it in that low scoring game against the Rams, at the Atlanta Super Bowl 13-3. Deion Branch did it against the Eagles, I believe, or maybe the Panthers. I can't remember which one, but Brady had won the prior Super Bowl MVP in each of like the two or each of the, each, he'd won one in each of the last 2 years subsequent. So like people had already voted for Brady and then were voting for a receiver. And then the other one was Santonio Holmes, which was after Big Ben's allegations. And I don't think anybody wanted him to be yelling, "I'm going to Disney World," after all that stuff off the field. And then oddly enough, Hines Ward got it too, in a game where Ben just had a terrible game against the Seahawks in that Super Bowl. So I think it would take like Stafford only throwing to Kupp, or Burrow only throwing to Ja'Marr Chase for them to pull it off, probably, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, they would, if their stats are.
I mean, like if Kupp goes for 250 yards, you're like 200.
Oh yeah, he's the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, if he gets, or really probably anything above 150 and like two touchdowns, it's going to be hard to do anybody else. But I just think the voters, as I always point out, these voters are doing this in like, and they're all on deadline because they're all sports writers. They're all trying to, you know, get it like. It's not their full-time job to vote for the MVP. So they sort of get their ballot, like, all right, Stafford played well, the Rams are winning, Matt Stafford's the MVP. Right. And then they just try to do it quickly to get down to get quotes and all that. So I'm not sure there's a ton of value in any of these. I wouldn't mind Donald at 25-1, or I would look at Odell Beckham at 40-1, just in case Kupp gets.
I'm looking, Beckham down 16-1 though at Caesars right now.
So. Oh no, you can't bet 16-1 on Beckham.
No. Yeah. When you said 40-1, yeah, that might be something you could take a look at.
We might have moved the thing down, actually, because we were talking.
Van Jefferson is at 60-1, and that guy's got great speed. If he catches two bombs,
yep, absolutely.
That could propel him into the discussion.
Okay, I like that. I could get down with that for sure. Okay, any other props that stand out to you?
Just an early look on this, I was amazed. The team that scores last wins the game is 16 straight years.
Wow.
16 straight years. Yeah, the team that scored last won the game. And that's a yes, minus 155. But I think that's about the right price. And it's just sure, an anomaly. It's like flipping a coin. Sometimes you're going to flip 10 straight heads, but this one should be 2 out of 3. This could be finally the year that it turns around, but I'm not going to bet against that trend. But I am going to say no score in the first 6 minutes. Both these teams have been under teams first quarter. Rams are 14-6 under first quarter this year. They're 7-1 under their last 8 games. And Cincinnati is 12-6-2 under in the first quarter of their game. So both teams, very slow starters. Like they heavyweight boxing match here. They're going to be conservative. They don't want to make a mistake early.
I like that a lot. I could see easily no score in under 6 minutes. Same reasons we've been talking about. These guys are conservative. You don't want to be the coach who hands the – you don't want to be Sean McVay and hand the Bengals a huge advantage. We've seen McVay play in a low-scoring defensive battle. I don't think these defenses are as good as those guys. But, yeah, I mean, I think both of those make a lot of sense. I actually took Kupp and Beckham over receiving yards and receptions. Kupp is 8.5, which is kind of crazy, but that dude just catches 10 balls a game, and 102.5, I think, receiving yards. And then Beckham 65.5 receiving yards and 5.5 catches at plus money. I think we're going to see the Rams throw a bunch in the first half, and then it's going to be Akers, Sony Michel time. I do like Akers under 65.5 rush yards too, though.
Yeah, I could definitely be talked into that one for sure. I think you'll see Michelle a little bit more in this game, and still Akers is still not 100%. He had some nice runs this past week against 49ers, but again, Sony Michel will be involved. He's got playoff experience or Super Bowl experience.
Oh yeah, that's a great point for sure. All right. Anything else for you, Kenny, on the Super Bowl? We're a week and a half out. So it's
We got still time, a lot of time to dissect this in many different ways, but I'm looking for a little lower scoring game than what the number's saying out there. And a lot of my props are going to be designed to maybe understuffed, just the fact that I think we have two conservative coaches and they'll play the game that way. And there's a lot of pressure on both guys too. You never know when you're ever going to get back here. Stafford's got to be so pleased he's there, but Joe Burrow's not a dumb guy. He knows to get back here might be awfully difficult. Who knows if it's your last time there. So a lot of pressure on both quarterbacks, both coaches.
Dan Marino remaining a cautionary tale. And you know who else is a cautionary tale? Aaron Rodgers. If you told me in 2010 that Rodgers was never coming back to the Super Bowl, I would not have believed you.
Right, exactly.
For a second. So, right. All right. Kenny, this is the year. We get our revenge from Atlanta. When Belichick took down our Rams, we had massive Rams bets. And boy, oh boy, it's like Rams and over. And boy, did that not pan out.
not even close.
I think I lost everything we were up on that heater on college basketball.
Yeah, we were out from the get-go on that Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, that's right. We're getting our revenge in this one, courtesy of the Rams and the under. That's the early lean there for us. Kenny, as always, man, a pleasure talking to you. And we will see you soon. And,
yes, sure will. Yep, bye, safe man. Travels. We'll see you in L.A. Thanks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.